Jesus.
Take my body, Jesus, eyes and ears and tongue. Let them never, Jesus, help to do thee wrong. Take my heart and fill it full of love for thee. All I have, I give thee. Give thyself to me.
Come on, you can do better than that.
Using puffing language, fighting, all those things. And thanks to Brian and all those other young people that were there, their prayers with my mother's prayers.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
He and saw me, came in a few years before his life was snuffed out.
Right.
Yes.
How did you manage through the time when Brian, when you heard about Brian's death? What did you do then?
I was so devastated.
Yeah.
At the time, it didn't come to me like it was true. You know, it's like it was just a dream. Yeah. And then when I saw the people coming into the yard now, some crying, some sympathizing with me and all those things, you know, then it started hitting me, you know. And then I said, Lord, have mercy, help me, carry me through this thing.
Yeah.
But what was really on my mind, it was Lorraine and the children. And every time I look at the children, especially little Brenda, and see how the father usually play with them, because even the Wednesday morning before he died, we were there talking about dead and thing, and he was there playing with children. He always loved to bite up Lorenzo and Daniel leg and say, it's a chicken leg. And oh, wow. I look at him the morning and I say, see turkey leg coming there by Christmas Hill. That was the baby I was talking about.
Right.
And the next day, he was gone.
Yeah.
And
what do you believe in? What keeps you going?
I believe in God. He's the one who gives me the strength to carry on. And he's the one I leave all my trust in. He never fails. He said he'll never leave us or forsake us.
That's right. He's promised
yes.
that.
Yeah. He's there for me always. No matter what. I know I've fallen many times. But yeah. I take everything to him in prayer and he lifts me up. Yeah. Yeah, because even after they killed Brian, all sort of things coming in my mind. Saying, suppose I catch those boys,
yeah.
what I would do back to them
right.
for taking the life out of my baby.
Right.
You know, all sort of things. And then I go back and I read my Bible.
Yeah.
And I pray and ask God to forgive me for those yeah. thinking.
That's
yes,
so true.
And each day I'm growing, you know, to take that grief and burden out of my mind. But then I have his photograph, my mother and my father, both on my sticking
oh, right.
leg like of my dresser.
Oh, right.
So every morning I get up, I see them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, there are times when I cry. You know, if you notice, my eyes, they were more puffy than these.
Right.
And the doctor had to go to the eye doctor, and he told me that I'm to try not to do too much crying because it seems as if some tear duct or something, sometimes even over here, very dry.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
okay.
Very dry.
Yeah.
So I try to avoid it.
Yeah.
There are times when it comes flowing down and I can't help it, but.
So, brother, we're standing here in the Let the Bible Speak bookstore just outside Little London in Westmoreland, Jamaica. And here is Mr. Randy Gunnings. He is the manager, the overseer of the bookstore ministry. Randy, how long ago did the ministry begin?
The ministry began 2008.
2008, okay,
yes.
Good, yes. So tell me just something about the burden and the intention of the bookstore ministry.
Yes, the bookstore ministry, it's excited when you have people come in and see the amount of books you got here, and they really said, wow, I can't believe there is so much book in this little board structure. But when they come and they look at the books, they say it's all author, but most of the people, they want to buy books like T.G. Jakes and Justin Joyce Myers, but I told them I don't carry none of those books because they are not published with the biblical truth. They have more of their opinion. So I tell them like good books to read, like C.H. Spurgeon and John Calvin, and I tell them these books have fundamental truth that will help them. So I have people way even from Montego Bay that come to visit here to get books. And I still have book pending waiting for people to come and get them from way out of this parish. I'll do some letters, send them out to different Bible colleges. I send them off to them. They interested, some came and look and said, promise they will come and get some package of them to take to give their children. I have some pastor take some off me, and they are using them as their fellowship. And I get some of the local pastor to come and check it out, and some of them is really high art, so they don't consider this little place as free Presbyterian. They don't really fathom with it. But I'm trying to convince them, said these are good literature, biblical literature, and it's a fun thing to sell books and talk about the Word of God. That's a beautiful thing. I get to talk about the Word of God. I may not sell the books as how I want them to sell, but it builds great conversation. And that's a blessing.
Randy, share with us for a moment how you came to know the Lord as your Savior.
Yes, that's a wonderful, amazing story. I was partying a lot, hanging out in the clubs, in the dance hall at 19 years old. You know, you're a young man, you just want to fill yourself with the life of the world. And then one evening, I met with a friend of mine that we used to go to high school with, and she invited me to church. So I said, you know, let's see what it's like. Went to church, hear Pastor Paul preach the gospel. And I said, that's that one time I won't, I'm not going to go to church anymore. That's just that one time. But when I was partying at this place that I normally go to, the dance hall and party, the word of God keep haunting me. And I mean, haunt me, like if God should come in the dance hall right now, where I would be. And I think about hell. And I go back the other time, Friday, it was the children ministry too. I went back to the other children ministry. It was a Friday night, and hear the gospel. And I couldn't deny it. I have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And from that day, he has made an impact. He has used me greatly. I've worked with many different ministers that come over. I work with Uncle Russ. I work with a whole lot of them that come over. Uncle Russ teach me a whole lot of skill, ministerial skill, that like outreach skill. And I tell you, those are some wonderful, wonderful times that I have ministering the Word of God.
Tell me the impact that Brother Brian Morris had upon your life and how you dealt with the news of his death.
Oh, Brother Brian, it's a really sad thing to speak about. Brother Brian, my best friend, my brother, his influence on me was impeccable. It was one of a friend that, my goodness, it's a friend that I'd never seen him going. And when he gone, I wish I was there with him. Now me and Brother Richard, we encourage each other with the word of God each and every day. Brother Paul, I know he missed Brian too, so I always try to hang out much with him and talk to him about the things of the Lord. And he's a young man, and he has his plate full also. And I tell you, it's always wonderful to have somebody to talk about the Word. Sometimes I'm doing business, selling the books, and somebody's talking about Christ so much that it's like you're in a cloud, comfort, breeze blowing. You just want to continue to speak about the things of God. And you don't find that anymore, because people doesn't have any time for themselves, much less for you. And that's the thing we are lacking. We need to step back and meditate on the things of God and reason on the things of God.
Tell us a little bit about your family.
Oh, my new family, my wife. We just have another baby. Her name is Janae. And my first one name is Rania. They are back of work, but they are excited and beautiful the way they are growing fast. They are growing so fast. I tell them about Adam and Eve, both of them. I walk them in the morning and tell them about creation. I don't know, they're not responding to me, but I'm telling them about it. And I sing Jesus Love the Little Children. They like to hear that. They like the tune of that. And my wife, now she have all the work. And now I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and help her do the taking care of the baby. And that's a new challenge for me. And I'm learning to make time for every little thing in my life. And today I got a message. I don't know if it's a message from me to go out and spread the gospel throughout the length of and breadth of Jamaica. It's from Isaiah, and it said to me that I don't call the young, and I don't call on you because you are young, and I don't call on you because you have all the strength and might, but I call on you to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. And I'm listening to that message, and I don't know what God have in plan for me, but I said, I'm a servant, use me, Lord. And I take that a great pleasure to do His will.
Well, our prayers are with you, Brother Andy, and may the Lord continue to direct you and guide you, because we need men who are committed to the Lord and committed to His work and ministry in the island of Jamaica. That is talking here with our brother Andre Lyons, known also as Paul Lyons from the Let the Bible Speak or Free Presbyterian Church of Little London. Brother, you are an appointed deacon here in the congregation, and just share with us for a moment briefly how you came to know the Lord as your Savior.
Well, okay. I see you take me on the spot here. But nonetheless, you must always be ready to give an account of the faith wherewith Christ called you to be, you know. I used to attend the Salvation Army Church when I was younger. When I came here, I heard the gospel being told, simply put, and in a different way from that which I've heard it, you know. And there has always been that pressed upon me that, you know, I need to know Jesus, this Jesus that Pastor Paul spoke of while he was here. You know, and I remember I was in church this one Sunday, and he was preaching, and I was sitting, I believe, close to the front, and he was preaching about sin. My sister, she was along with me as well. She came to me one evening while we were about to go home, and she says, let's go talk to Miss Jillian, you know, because Pastor Paul had left, and Pastor Graham and Miss Jillian, they were here. And I said, oh no, let's go another day. You know, the following week, my sister said, let's go talk to Miss Jillian. And she really just wanted company. And I said, oh no, let's go another week. And when I went home that night, I thought about it. I said, well, if I die and my sister die, then her salvation is really in my hand then, because I am the one who is preventing her from going to speak with Miss Jillian. And so I said, the following week, let's go. And just after all the children's meeting was kept in the little room behind right here. And after, when all the boys and girls left, we spoke with Miss Jillian, and she showed us this little worm with many colors. And she explained to us, you know, how like this worm, if we confess our sins, then we will walk on the street of gold, and the red standing for the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed on Calvary's cross for sin. And it was really then I came to know Christ as my personal Savior.
So now, you've been in the mission here for how many years?
Roughly 17 years.
What do you have? What would you summarize as your vision for the church here in Little London?
Well, my vision is to see the church grow to the extent where we have, you know, missionaries going out from the work, going across the island, different places, and not just Jamaica, but other parts of the world, to really witness to men and women, you know. It thrills my soul to hear of people coming to know the Savior. And my focus and my motivation is not just on those who are saved right now, you know, but for those who are out there. You know, being a teacher, I see so many persons who have lost, who do not know the way.
Share with us for a moment what you hope to do with those children that are coming to the Friday night classes.
Well, we hope to have this meeting, this children's meeting, so established that we can have them learning about the scripture. You know, in our children's meeting, we have them saying the books of the Bible, we have them doing the memory verse, we have them doing soul drill. We want to expand to where they can start learning the catechism. So it's a step-by-step process. We hope that in the future, you know, we can have a young people fellowship recommencing once more, you know.
So your heart, of course, is to lead them to a knowledge of Christ and then to become an impact themselves, I'm sure, in their country.
Right, right. I see the children coming here to be great witnesses to their parents, because I believe those who, when they go home and memorizing the memory verse, is a witness to their parents to say, Jesus Christ died. You know, so even if the parents haven't heard, and I've seen a parent come in here with the child for the children's meeting, and after that, coming to the Sunday service, and that was a blessing to my soul, you know, to see that. And so we know that the Lord really is using even the children's work to reach out, you know.
Good. No. As you sat this afternoon, I recognized something. And when I saw it, I smiled. Who can tell me what I recognized?
What?
That young man at the back?
I want to smile.
Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me for my sin. I know I have done wrong. I'm not perfect. Lord, come into my heart and save me from my sin.
No, man. What are you doing, man? You know that? That's against the law here, man.
Richard, as you're washing away there, share with us for a moment how you came to know the Lord as your Savior.
Well, the truth is, I was born and I grew up into a Christian home, a Christian family, and from birth, I used to attend the Anglican Church, and I can recall one Sunday morning, the Sunday school teacher was sharing from St. Matthew 5 verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So as she was there teaching, those words, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. That verse really and truly spoke to my heart. I was just about leaving primary school and approaching high school. So, that's many, many years ago. That does not say that I am old anyway. I really and truly accepted the Lord Jesus Christ because my desire was to be a peacemaker, especially in the faith. And from there, then, as I said, leaving the primary school into high school, that's where I met Brother Brian, where we became very good friends and companions. But I must say that since I have been here, and let the Bible speak. I grew very well, very much to know the Lord. I can recall the time when Pastor Paul asked me the question, what are we saved by? And the truth is, I did not know by what means until I attended Let the Bible Speak. And so, I attended here, this place. There's no doubt that the true gospel, the only gospel, has been preached, has been proclaimed, has been emphasized. And additionally, I do not believe, from my observation and from my association with other congregation and other believers, I do not believe that there is another congregation or another church in this very community that preaches Christ in all his glory as we do. I love the Lord's work, love his presence, and love serving him. Amen.
Tell us for a second, Brother Richard, the impact that Brian's death had upon you and even upon the church here.
You know, that's a very tough and difficult question, brother. The reason being because even now for many, including myself, it just sound unbelievable of his death, such death. You know, and time again I ask myself, and many in the congregation, is it really true that Brian died? But I know that nothing at all does not take the Lord by surprise. Nothing happened by mere chance, nothing happened by accident, according to his divine will. And I do believe in God's submissive will. But there's a great impact. Brian was a great mentor in the church. You know, he was greatly looked upon. Not to say though that at times there were not challenges, but challenges that dealt with. But truly, he has been greatly missed, I believe, from everyone of this congregation. At times when others and I talking about this brutal death, they broke down in tears. You know, Brian was he was very good at the keyboard. I believe that was a special gift to him. He could just play any and anything without any note, just by ear. Right? And he was a good preacher of Christ, from my observation. A good mentor, a good teacher, a father, and a husband. but he's in it, in our hearts, and although we are sad of his passing, in a sense we are glad to know that he is in glory. No. And I speak with great confidence because of the very life that Brian lived and also of his testimony.
Tell us for a moment, what would be your vision and hope for the work here in Jamaica?
My vision, our vision here for this flock, for this church, is that we, first of all, we would be independent in the sense that we are able to finance the running of the church. That does not say, though, that we do not appreciate, we do that gladly, we do appreciate help from the Toronto Church and elsewhere. But that is our first goal. And secondly, I believe that our aim and our desire, as we have oftentimes mentioned, prayed about, is that we would like to see branches of this church being spread throughout the land of Jamaica. And ministers who are called, truly called by God, taking up the baton and going forth. So those are our two great gold for the upliftment of the work here.
Share with us just a couple of prayer requests that people could hold up, apart from the two major issues you just mentioned. Is there another area of specific prayer?
Well, I think this could be always true. We always need prayer for sanctification and for the increasing of faith and for holiness. As Christ says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And I believe that prayer can become endless for those means. There's much means for prayer for the Lord to increase our faith daily, and that we might live accordingly to his divine word.
Stop the talking, children. It is devotion time. Get into the frame of mind for worship.
Morning, Uncle Richard.
Very good. And how are you doing this morning?
Fine, thank you. And how are you?
Very good. Very good indeed. It is good to be with you once again, boys and girls. And we are here for a special reason. And that special reason is that we are here to share with you God's precious word. Right? We are here to tell you of the Lord Jesus Christ. So for the few moments or for the few minutes that remain, we would love to have your attention. Now, as we said before, we have Pastor Larry with us, and we also have Uncle Fraser with us. Okay? So the truth has been emphasized once again. Jesus loved us, and how do we know? The Bible, or God's word, tells us that to be so. Isn't it wonderful, boys and girls, to know the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ does love you?
Jesus, you respect for us.
Is Brother Austin there?
Pastor Larry.
Hey.
Good, but we can't see you for yourself.
You can't see me.
No, man, we can't see you.
But we can see you.
Yes, sir.
And the Lord can see you.
Yes, man.
Brother Austin, it is good to see you today.
Pastor.
Wow.
But, Pastor, I not give up in us. No, Pastor, I'm not giving up. God's work is too sweet.
God's work is too sweet.
Too sweet, so I'm not giving up. No, sir.
Oh, Pastor Larry is asking if the Lord has been good to you.
Yes, Pastor. In good, in every way, Pastor. Every way in good, Pastor.
But you look well.
Yes, Pastor. Grace, Pastor.
You haven't changed. You haven't got any older.
Yes, sir. God.
Wow.
He says grace.
Grace. The grace of God.
Yes, Pastor.
Yes.
For I believe in Him day and night, Pastor. So He's a wonderful God. You see, Pastor.
Oh, it's wonderful to Him.
I sleep with Him and I wake with Him, Jesus, Pastor.
He goes to bed with Him and He woke up.
But I don't know how I come here. I cannot. I don't know how I may come here. So, you must put on my trust in God. I don't know how I come here. I don't know how I come upon this land. The good you do, the Bible said, the good you do, it precious in your sight.
Yes.
When I say my prayer and I ask Jesus, forgive me for my sin. I cry, oh God, go to me. For if not, it hinders me. Every night, Pastor, I pray two times. I pray two times. And prayer, climb the ladder, Jacob's.
Yes, Brother Austin.
Jamaica, there's usually a project or two to be involved with.
Absolutely.
And here, Brother James is looking at repairing a sink that was broken and actually missing totally.
So we're able to get the new sink, and looks like we're all in operation here. The Drains working? We don't have any leaks?
So, brother, this is your first time to Jamaica to visit the mission. What's your first impression been, having come down here?
It's been really wonderful, not only meeting all the people in the church, but hearing their testimonies and hearing how they absolutely live for the Lord and love the Lord. And it's a very, it's just a real encouragement to be able to come to a place where, when we were able to visit the school the other day and have a time of fellowship and opening God's Word and reading God's Word and explaining it, was just amazing.
So last night we had the children's meeting, and you were able to attend that, and you went around on the bus with Brother Randy. Tell us a bit about your experience with the kids on the bus.
Oh, unbelievable. The kids are just so full of energy, and they're so thrilled to have the children's meeting, and Randy has a way of being able to get them excited and singing, and the whole time we would be picking up children, they'd be waving the bus down, and groups of children would get on the bus and we'd be singing the hymns the whole way to the meeting, and then on the way home again at the end, it was just a real thrill. The children were so enthusiastic, and a lot of them see it as an opportunity to be able to get out on a Friday evening that they might not otherwise get out to do things, and it was just a great experience. I just couldn't believe the condition of the roads, though. I tell you, the bus was some of the potholes and stuff that they had to dodge around, and it was a little challenging. But Randy was up to it, and he certainly knows everybody by name in the neighborhood, and they all know him. And it was it's a great experience. You have to experience it.